I want to help explain something. There are a lot of things that we see and that we see on a regular basis that there's deeper meanings, deeper understandings to what's going on. And Matthew chapter 13 really, really gives us a very clear explanation of the things that are going to take place and go on during the church age. The Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to the followers, preaching to the Jewish people that are listening. But he's giving them some insight into the church, something that thus far, up until now, at this place, is a mystery to them. They don't grasp this. They think they understand the kingdom of God. They think they understand the kingdom of heaven. But what they're looking for is not a spiritual kingdom. They're looking for a physical kingdom. What did they want to see? Why did Judas Iscariot even follow Christ in the first place? It's because they were looking for a social, political leader. They were looking for maybe a military leader that's going to come rescue them from the oppression of the Roman government and to reestablish the kingdom of Israel. We know, we at least superficially, at least ostensibly, we understand the spiritual kingdom. They didn't understand that. That didn't mean anything to these Jews. They didn't get it. They just don't mean anything to them. They're looking for a physical kingdom. And there was so much that they did not understand. And in Matthew chapter 13, the same day, went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. That metaphorically speaking, when Jesus went out of the house, it is a picture of Christ leaving, exiting the house of Israel, no longer dealing with the nation of the Jews, but now dealing with the Gentile nation. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And thirdly, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And fourthly, in verse number 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 30-fold, 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Can I say this? As the Lord begins to explain this, he draws a very clear, very concise picture that in the day that you and I live in the church age, in the gospel age, in the gospel dispensation, that there are four very distinct groups of people that we deal with inside the walls of a Baptist church in the day we live in. Four very distinct groups of people. There's the seed that fell by the wayside. There's the seed that fell on stony ground. There's the seed that fell among thorns. And there's the seed that fell on good ground. Without any shadow of doubt, there is a small, tiny, itty-bitty remnant, a little bit of that seed that fell on good ground. According to the parable, there's the idea, and many preach it this way, and I've heard greater men of God than I'll ever be that have preached it this way, that probably only 25% of those that ever hear the gospel would ever be saved. In the Laodicean church age that we live in, I'm going to give you an educated opinion. This is my opinion, okay? You take that for what it's worth. I do not believe there's anywhere close to 25% of people in the church that are truly born again. I don't think it comes close, not in the day we live in. As a matter of fact, in 1959, Dr. R.G. Lee, at an address to the Southern Baptist Association, I believe he was in Spartanburg, South Carolina, in 1959, when he spoke of our evangelistic meetings, and he spoke of men like Billy Graham and others who held large evangelistic meetings, he said, I would be surprised if 10% of the people who make professions are truly born again. I say amen. I say I believe that. We live in a day and age where folks, either from innocence or from ignorance, believe everybody that says they're saved are saved. I mean, they think everybody's saved. They want to give everybody the benefit of a doubt. But based on God's word in the scripture, in your King James Bible, the only ones that are saved are the ones that produce fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Everyone does not produce the same amount of fruit. But I'll promise you, based on the authority of God's word, if you're saved, you do produce fruit for the glory of God. And any man, woman, boy, or girl that cannot look back across his life as a so-called professing child of God and cannot lay your finger on genuine fruit that was produced by the Holy Ghost of God in your life, you're lost. Tell me some other way I can discern what this scripture just said. There is no other way. You're either fruitful or you're lost. I realize everyone doesn't produce the same amount of fruit. I do understand that. I do understand that every season is not a fruitful season. Brother Danny, I go through dry seasons. It's dry. Sister Shelby, ask to pray for rain. Help the garden grow. Put those plants out. You labor. You work. You try to plant something so you can have a harvest in the summer and in the fall. And you've got to have some rain. There's something real important about that. When you look at the fruit, that fruit is labor. And every season is not a great season. But every child of God will have genuine fruit in your life. People you influenced along the way. People you had an impact on. And I mean a genuine impact for the glory of God. And I want us to know that anybody that's saved has fruit. Now, Jesus said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And what the Lord very clearly understood here and conveys to us, that everybody can't get this. In the common vernacular, in the common language of the common people in the day we live in, Brother Danny, everybody just don't get it. That's what the Lord said. You don't all get this. And I'm absolutely, emphatically, dogmatically concerned with all of my heart. But on the average Sunday morning of the people who walk inside these four walls, there's a whole bunch that just don't get it. Oh, they can shake their head and they can say amen. They can say that's right, preacher. They can say that's a good message. But can I just ask the question, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? You remember that old Wendy's commercial, where's the beef? I want to see the fruit in somebody's life. The real work of the Holy Spirit of God that shows me you're a living, breathing child of God, that you are producing fruit for the glory of Almighty God. You may not always have the most fruit, but you're going to have fruit in your life. The disciples came unto him and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables?
And he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And the Lord's saying, for those that are true, those that are real, those that are producing fruit, I'm going to give you my words, I'm going to give you my wisdom, I'm going to give you my truths, and the fruit that you produce is going to become even greater. Brother Danny, that's why it is important for us to feed on the truth of the Word of God, because it helps us become more fruitful. And whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. What does that mean? What does that speak of? What does that entail? It talks about religious lost people who think they know something about the truth of God, who think they know God, who think they understand salvation, who think they understand the truth of God's word. And God said, what they even think they've got, I'm going to make it more confusing. They're going to know less than they thought they did to start with. Oh, yeah. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. The Lord Jesus is not saying that they don't give an audience, that they don't audibly hear what I'm saying. The Lord's saying they don't comprehend it. I'm back to that word, Eddie. They don't get it. You see, I sat in church a great deal of my life, and I didn't get it. I thought I did. I was convinced I did. I was convinced I understood. I watched my dear mother in church until she was 80 years old, 81 years old. But she was 81 years old when she got born again. And all those years she sat in church and she didn't get it. She didn't get it. I have often been told something that today I am absolutely convinced more than I've ever been in my life, that folks in the Bible Belt and folks in Western North Carolina, now I love you, and I know I ain't forgot where I come from and I ain't forgot where I am. Okay, I'm a hillbilly. I come from higher up in the hills than y'all did. I'm a hillbilly. I'm a hillbilly with every fiber of my mortal being. I talk like I just got off a bus with a chicken under my arm. I came from Wilkes County, North Carolina. Before we came here, we moved from Ashe County, North Carolina. We lived on a little Christmas tree farm back up in the woods, and I'm proud to be a mountaineer. I don't have any problem being a hillbilly. But folks in Western North Carolina in the Bible Belt, because we have had so much gospel, is probably the most gospel-hardened people in the entire universe. I cannot take you to any place on planet Earth, and I've been to a bunch, where people are more hardened to the gospel than they are right here in Buncombe County, North Carolina. I mean hardened to the gospel. And the Lord Jesus wanted his people to understand what's taking place. The hardness of people's hearts in them is fulfilled, verse 14, the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Are you with me? I'm in verse 15. And this people is waxed gross. The word gross means thickened or calloused. Their heart has grown hard, calloused, thickened. Their ears are dull of hearing. The word dull literally means lazy. It means slow. It has to do with being stupefied or stupid. And I'm not interested in hurting anybody's feelings, but I'm not interested in being politically correct. But it has the idea of being retarded, to retard. When I was in the engineering profession, there was times when we built a bridge. Brother Danny, the slower concrete sets up, the harder it is, the harder it gets. If you can keep that concrete wet and just go back and keep wetting it, just go back and keep squirting water on it. Just go back. Brother Eddie, you know this. Just go back and keep squirting water on it. The longer you can keep it from setting up, the harder it will be eventually. And you can put chemicals in it to retard it, to keep it from setting up so fast. And it makes it harder and it makes it stronger. And that's what this verse is talking about. The hearts and the ears of men have hardened. They're dull of hearing. Why? Their eyes hath God closed. I'm in verse number 15. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes hath God closed. Are you with me? Don't say that, does it? Who closed their eyes? They did it. They did it. Why, Miss Sheila? Because they don't want to see. They don't want to see. Preacher, don't you dare tell me I'm lost. How dare you tell me I have a problem? And the longer you can sit, the longer you can wait, the longer, Eddie, you keep pouring water on, the harder you can get. To the point one day it won't bother you. And Jesus said, lest at any time they should see with their... You would almost think that Jesus don't want to help them. No, that's not it at all. Look what he said. He said, they've done it to themselves, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. The Lord Jesus said, if they would listen, if they would hear, not just give audience, but if they would heed, if they would receive in their heart what I'm trying to tell them, I would heal them. Can you even imagine the tragedy of a man or a woman that would refuse the grace of God, that God would be willing to give you forgiveness? You don't want it. You'd rather pretend you don't have a problem. You'd rather say, God, why are you telling me this? Verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, why don't he understand it? He don't want to. We've already established that. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth the way that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which receives seed by the wayside. That's number one. Number two, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arise, because of the word, by and by he is offended. That word offended, Miss Shelby, does not mean he got his feelings hurt. That's not what the definition of the word offended means. That word offended means to be turned out of the way. It means to be turned out of the way. And lest you be confused by this scripture, not one of these two individuals are saved. They're not born again. Miss Stephanie, when they received the word anon with joy, that means they received the truth, the message of what's being said. The seed hears not salvation. The seed hears the truth of the word of God. They received the truth. It just ain't done the work of salvation in them. There's a lot of folks who receive truth. They're not going to do anything with it. Now, verse number 22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That does not have the idea that he was fruitful and then became unfruitful. It's not somebody who was saved and then lost their salvation. It means by and by the fruit, the seed that can produce the fruit in him became null and void, and it was of no value. And over time, when you watched it, it proved to be unfruitful. There was no fruit that was ever produced. You know what breaks my heart? How many people sit in a Baptist church today and they're convinced they're saved, and they've never produced any fruit. They've never produced any fruit. Miss Lori, I watched your life when you first got saved, and I watched you working as a desk clerk in a hotel, and I could go to naming you the people that God let you witness to and God brought to me through you working in their lives and living in front of them and working in front of them, and I could name the folks that I know without any shadow of a doubt God let you have a direct input into their life. I don't question that. I'm talking about fruit in your life, folks that you have directly had some kind of a impact in their life. Now listen, verse 23, he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I'm going to give you this real quick, and we're going to the house, okay? I'm helping you understand why we're in the mess we're in. I'm helping you understand why we can come in. I came in this church this morning, and there wasn't a holy grunt to be had in this place. And I'm not going to pretend about that. I'm not pretending like God was here in a mighty way this morning. No, he wasn't. We struggled this morning. But I'm going to tell you that there's four different groups of people in the New Testament church age. And the first one is that fell on that hard ground. That hard-packed soil, Brother Danny, is folks who their heart is hard. Why? Because that hard-packed ground is what some would term, Brother Ed, you've probably been around long enough, you might call that the turn row. That's not the row where you would ordinarily plant the seed, but that's the row where you walked. The road where you put your feet down so much that it became hard packed. And the seed falls on that hard packed ground, but it just don't penetrate. It just don't get in. And folks sit in church all of their life and they go through the ritual. They go through the routine. They do their little thing. We're going to go in and we're going to sing our little songs. We're going to pray our little prayers. We're going to have our little messages. We're going to dismiss and we're all going to go to the steakhouse and have a nice lunch. We're all going to just do the routine and we're all going to do our thing. And they've done that so long that they've so hardened their heart, the seed of the Word of God cannot even wiggle into their heart. They're hard. That second group of people that fell among the stony ground, Brother C.L., is those that have a wildly emotional, high-elated experience that is something other than salvation. The Word of God said that the seed sprung up. You say, praise God, they got saved. They come to the church. They came to the altar. They cried. They prayed. And then you watch them and they go back out and 6 weeks later or 6 months later, you can't find them in the house of God and they're not interested in the things of God. And pretty soon they're back out in all that same mess they was in before. And our poor, pitiful Pentecostal friends say, well, they got it, but they lost it. Brother Don, they never got nothing. They got nothing. They had nothing. The Word of God said the seed sprung up. And it said it withered. Why? Because it had no deepness of earth. It had no root. What does that mean? It was not rooted in the Holy Ghost of God. It was rooted in shallow emotions. I'm telling you what you're seeing in front of your very eyes. This is what Christ said was going to be in the New Testament church age. Those that are hard in their heart. And you, hey, listen, you can't do nothing to penetrate them, Brother Danny. You can cry. You can cry. You can weep over them. You can love them. You can pray for them. As a matter of fact, if you was mean enough, you could stand up and cuss them. But it just ain't going to make no difference because they're hard. And that second group, this preacher, don't worry about me. Why, preacher, when I was 8 years old, I went to Bible school and I went to the altar and I cried like a little old baby and I got up and my grandmother, she shouted and shouted like to tore the house down, shouting and having a big time. And oh, it was so emotional. It was so wonderful. Now, I've been a drunkard and whoremonger ever since, but preacher, I remember when I was 8 years old in that church. Big emotional experience, but it was shallow. It wasn't rooted in the Holy Ghost. And then that seed that fell among thorns, those thorns came up, Brother Danny. It's the seed, the truth of the Word of God. But it got so wrapped up in all that other stuff going on that it could not bring forth fruit. What is it? It is an idea. A lot of people sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But Miss Eva, they don't love Jesus. They love an idea. They love an idea. They're in love with the idea of coming to an altar and praying a prayer and then living their life the way they want to live it and go in heaven when they die and they can just tell God they're sorry. That's an idea. It's just not God's salvation. My wife did a cake for a wedding once, and we went to this wedding of this poor, pitiful young lady. And I don't mean to make fun of her. I'm not just trying to belittle her. I'm just giving you an illustration, and it is what it is. And her and that old bow-legged boy she was fixing to marry had fought like cats and dogs, been up all night screaming and cussing at one another, and finally come into the marriage ceremony, and everybody in the family's in an uproar because they've been fighting all night, and they want to know if she's going to go through with this wedding, and she told her family, she said, "I hate not to." She said, "I look so good in the dress." Brother C.L., she was not in love with a man. She was in love with an idea, a concept of having a husband and home and family and someone to take care of her. Miss Stephanie, she had nothing but an idea. And this third group of people do not have God's salvation. They have an idea, a concept, if you will. And it's solid in their own heart, in their own mind. It is real to them. In their own paradigm, it is real to them. It's just not real salvation. And I've told you 3/4 of the people in the New Testament church today, according to what Jesus Christ said in the parable of the sower. And you wonder why it is the way it is. That's why it is the way it is. You say, "Preacher, you got a save-o-meter? You know, you can just go around to people and say, well, I'm looking at my save-o-meter. It looks like this one's doing pretty good. And oh, this is kind of getting in by the skin of their teeth. And that's in trouble." No, I don't have a save-o-meter, Brother Don, but I do recognize fruit. I do recognize fruit. And you know what's even more sad is I recognize the lack of fruit, the absence of fruit. Because that fourth type, that fourth group, the good soil, the good ground. And I really hope that by God's grace and the time that I've been here, that I've been able to find a little bit of good ground, a little bit of good ground, one or two along the way that got the seed of the Word of God and it got more than just a shallow response, but it found its way into their heart. You say, preacher, you don't do things like a lot of other preachers. I don't do a lot of evangelistic trickery. I don't do a lot of things to just beg people to come to an altar and pray a prayer. I don't just try to round up a bunch of youngins and stick them through the baptismal pool. But I'm going to tell you what I do, Sister Stephanie. I try to preach the truth of God's word in the power of the Holy Ghost of God as best I know how. And I try to find that good ground. And I try to stir up that ground all I can. And I try to plow all I can in that good ground. And try to get that soil ready and try to love people. And try to have a testimony in front of people that they listen and they believe that Preacher Mike loves them. And Preacher Mike's trying to tell them the truth to the best of his ability. And try to sow that seed. And try to go back and water that seed once in a while. Brother Danny, it's not my job to make fruit come forth. But if I'll sow the good seed and if I'll water that seed every once in a while, I'll see that seed start to germinate and spring up out of the ground. Good seed in good ground. And every once in a while, you get to see some of it bring forth fruit. Every once in a while. You get to see some of it really make a difference in this world. Tonight, I'm giving you what I'm giving you because I want you to understand the condition of the church and why we need revival is because we've been saturated, infiltrated, and inundated with folks that have had emotional experiences, folks that have had hard hearts, and folks that are in love with an idea. And they're all around us. And they're good folks. And they're good folks. Some of them are sweet as pie. They'll give you green beans out of their garden. If you was feeling bad, they'd come mow your grass. They'd bring you a meal. They'd buy your supper. Some of them good as gold would do anything in this world to try to be a good neighbor, to try to be a good friend. But the fact of the matter is, in judgment, the Lord Jesus is going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Because having an idea is not salvation. And having a big hoopla of an emotional experience is not salvation. And folks hardening their hearts by just going through the ritual and going through the motions and going through the routine is not salvation. But salvation brings forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. But every last one of those good seed that wound up in good ground brought forth fruit.